If you'll turn to Mark chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, there's the woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years. And in verse 27, it says, she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. Now, last week, Father David was talking about how sometimes the various scriptures that are assigned on a particular Sunday don't always seem to go together. But you had a blessing last Sunday. They all went together beautifully, right? Well, this week we've got in Deuteronomy, there are the instructions for taking care of the poor. In Psalm 112, it talks about how the righteous give to the poor. And in Corinthians, Paul is very busy shaming the Corinthian church because the Macedonians are taking an offering for the poor of Jerusalem. And then we have the gospel, where the healing of the woman with the issue of blood and the raising of Jairus' daughter. When I read the first three lessons, I thought, okay, this is probably going to have something like the widow's mite or something, you know, something having to do with the poor. But no, we jump from the poor, poor, and poor to healing and raising from the dead. And it just kind of it boggles the mind. Anyway, so I'm sure Miranda could testify that I sweated blood over this one this week. But here's what I ultimately came up with. There's a twofold message in this. The first is listening to the voice of God, and the second is reaching out and touching Jesus. Okay, that's your twofold message for this morning. All right. So now here's a question for you. Do you really want to hear God speak clearly to you? Do you really want to listen to the voice of God? Do you really want to hear what he has to say? I hope the answer is yes, but I'm not getting a lot of nods out there. So okay, not sure what to do with that. Anyway, well, let me give you a little primer in reading Holy Scripture, all right? Now, there is a difference between, and I'm going to give you some Greek terms here, but I will hopefully explain that. There is a difference between exegesis and eisegesis. Okay? Ex means out of, right? Eis means into, all right? And so if you're doing exegesis, you are drawing out of the scriptures what God is saying to you. If you're doing eisegesis, you're putting into the scriptures what you're bringing to them. Okay? And the sad part about that is that what God really wants to do is for us to draw out what he is saying to his church and to us individually, but all too often when we go to the scriptures with something in our mind and we want to get an answer to that specific thing, and so we proof text and we go and we do what's called eisegesis. We read into the Holy Scriptures what we want God to have said to us. Do you see the difference? I feel like I'm swimming upstream. Okay. Anyway. All right. What do we do? How do we do exegesis as opposed to eisegesis? All right. Well, number one is you've got to remember that the Holy Scriptures are really, as it were, not only the revelation of God to his people, but they're God's love letters to us. He is telling us in the Holy Scriptures how much he loves us and what he wants to do for us. Why would we not want to spend time there and hear what he has to say? Think about it as if you have ever courted somebody else, all right? Miranda and I courted. Well, while we were separated from each other, Miranda being in Austin, Texas, and me being in Dallas for my clinical pastoral education. Man, we wrote letters all the time, and we read each other. I kept every single letter that Miranda has ever written to me, every card she has ever given me. And I go back and I look at them and I read them. And, you know, because I love her so much, I want to spend that time with her. And we would call it, this was back in the days when long distance actually cost a lot of money, okay? And so we agreed to call each other once a week for a specific period of time so we could just hear each other's voice, you know? And we agreed that we would fly on Southwest Airlines and their, what was it, $29 round trip between the two cities or whatever, a couple of times during the summer. Well, that all broke down. We were calling each other, you know, and I made a couple of extra trips down to Austin. We had to be together. That's what kind of relationship God wants with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to be with you. So spend time in the Word. It's a love relationship. And the more time you spend in that relationship, in the Word of God, the better you're going to be able to identify His voice. You're going to be able to hear what He is saying and how He is saying it. So you will recognize His voice not only in the Word, but then prophetically and through church and other ways that God is going to speak to you. You begin to recognize His voice. Spend time with God. Study the Bible. Study it. Read it. Yes, but study it. You've got, there are all sorts of wonderful study Bibles out there that, you know, they have footnotes and marginal notes and all that kind of stuff. And they'll tell you where parallel passages are. Use those notes. Use those things. It's a wonderful way to learn how God has spoken to His people in ages past and how He is speaking to us now. And another suggestion is use various translations. If you don't know the original Greek or the original Hebrew, then read a number of different translations and you'll get the sense of it. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Okay. So I'll share something about that in just a minute, about literal translations and what you can do with those. Anyway. Okay. And then as you're reading, ask questions. Actually, Miranda at breakfast a couple days ago, we were reading in the Passion narrative, in Mark's Gospel, or Luke's Gospel, I guess it is right now in the Daily Office. And she came across something. She said, you know, how many times have I read this? And it just suddenly jumped out at me. And she was asking, what does it mean that the disciples went out to the Garden of Gethsemane and they were sleepy for sorrow? What does that mean? You know, and she was asking it. And then she challenged herself. Okay, I'm going to look this up. That's the kind of interaction that God wants with His people in the Word, okay? Let the Scriptures speak to you. Don't wait for a formal Bible study to read the Bible, okay? You have the Holy Spirit within you. He is the ultimate interpreter. Let Him show you the way through the Word. And then don't do it alone. Talk to your friends. If you have a prayer partner, maybe you can covenant with your prayer partner to agree to read a particular book or a particular story within. And then talk about it and interact with each other so that you can hear how God is speaking not only to you but to your partner, and how the two of you together can understand better what God is saying to you. All right, there are a lot of different ways to go about this. These are just some basic suggestions to draw out the Word of God and apply it to your life. That's exegesis, all right? So, as I was doing this reading of the lessons and trying to figure out, okay, God, why is this gospel with this Old Testament, New Testament, and so on? What are you trying to say here, Lord? Miranda, if you would put up the gospel, please. You can just. There we There we go. All right. This is Mark chapter 5. This is the story of the woman with the issue of blood in the BLT, which is Bill's literal translation. Okay. All right. That's hungry. Yes. You should be hungry for the word. All right. What I want you to see is when I was trying to figure out, okay, God, what are you doing with this? How are you doing this? What are you trying to say? And I decided I would just go to the Greek and this particular part, because there is a place in here where it does talk about how she'd been to many physicians and ran out of money. I wonder how that ever happened to anybody. Okay. Anyway. So I thought, okay, I'll start with that. And this is a literal translation, and it hit me how the wording is on this. So bear with me. What's that?
Did they have hair care?
Herod care. Right. All right. And a large crowd followed him, Jesus, and they pressed upon him. And now, hear how this flows, okay? And this is as close to word for word as I could make it. And a woman having a flow of blood 12 years, and having suffered many things at the hands of many doctors, and having spent all that she possessed, and in no way having been helped, but rather having become worse, having heard about Jesus, having come from behind in the crowd, she touched the garment of him. Now, did you notice that all of those things leading up to that are participial phrases? There's no action words anywhere in that until you get to she touched. Did you see that? You know, having a flow of blood, having suffered, having spent all that she had, having been helped, and having become worse, having heard about Jesus, having come from behind, she touched. The message is she touched. That's the important word here. Can you move it up just a little bit for me, please? Thank you very much. For she had said that if I might touch even the garment of him, I will be made whole. And immediately the fountain of her blood was made dry, and she was made aware in her body that she was healed from the affliction. Up a little higher, please. And immediately, Jesus, having become aware in himself that power came out from him, having turned in the crowd, he said, "Who touched my garment?" And the disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing upon you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' What, are you crazy?" And he looked around, sought to see the one having done this, and the woman, having been afraid and trembling, knowing what had happened to her. She was afraid and trembling because she was unclean. She had a flow of blood. A woman with a flow of blood is an unclean person. She isn't supposed to touch anybody, and nobody's supposed to touch her. But woman, having been afraid and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction." Okay. Take it back. Thank you. So we have here a really powerful message about going to Jesus and about reaching out and touching him and what he will do for us when we reach out to him. In Deuteronomy, I went back after doing this translation. I went back to Deuteronomy, and it says about taking care of the poor. He says, or Moses says to the people, "For this, the Lord your God will bless you." And then in Psalm 112, the righteous one is said to, is not afraid of bad news, for his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. And in the epistle, when Paul is talking about the Macedonians and giving to the poor, he says, "But they first gave themselves to the Lord." You got a message here. You get so caught up with looking at one particular thing, and all I could see when I began was poor, 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 no poor. But now there is, Lord your God will bless you. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. They gave themselves first to the Lord. She reached out. She touched him. In the lessons, we see three examples of need which Jesus wants to and will meet if we reach out and touch him. Obviously, there's the poor. There's the sick woman. And there is the dead daughter whom he raises from the dead. So we have the poor, the sick, and death. And Jesus is powerful enough to overcome all of these things for us. So let's look at that real quickly. Poor. Life happens. It really does. It goes on and on and on. And there are many ways we can be or become poor. Let me give you a real quick example. My father was a very accomplished businessman, and he worked for Ling Timco Vought, LTV Corporation, back in the late 60s and early 70s. And actually, just the late 60s, because in 1970, Dick Nixon broke it all up. He broke up all the conglomerates. I don't know if y'all are old enough to remember that, but, you know, AT&T and LTV and all these conglomerates, Dick Nixon just broke them all up. Well, my father was the head of the research and development branch of Ling Timco Vought. Well, now that Ling Timco Vought no longer exists, there's not any need to do research and development. So he lost his job. Within 2 months after losing his job, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. We had no insurance because he had no job. You talk about a position making somebody poor. We went totally bankrupt as a family. We had nothing. We had to sell our house. We had to sell all the cars. My sisters were in college. We went back. Did everything we could, and we suddenly the rug was just pulled out from under us. Well, these things happen. Accidents happen. Financial markets crash. I've heard that pandemics can happen, and people can lose their jobs and their lives. You know, there are many ways that we can become or be poor. And there are other types of poverty besides financial poverty. There's educational poverty, emotional poverty, spiritual poverty. There's a lot of different ways we can be and become poor. Okay? Now, we can also become sick. Like this poor woman, I'm sure she did nothing to cause herself to have an issue of blood for 12 years. But she suddenly found herself with that situation. But this whole idea of sickness seems very straightforward, but when we get sick, what is the first thing you do? You know, you start feeling ill. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of this. When you first begin to get ill, what do? You run to the medicine chest, right? Okay. First sign of a headache, I'm after the Excedrin. First sign of a stuffy head, I'm headed for the Sudafed. You know, whatever. I'm always headed for the medicine chest first. And then if it doesn't get better, well, we go to one of those guys who take all our money and go to the doctor. Okay. And then if you're still not getting better after seeing this fine physician, then, oh, well, I'll call the prayer chain. And then if I'm still not getting better, well, I'll call Father David or Father Chris and have him come over and anoint me. Is that backwards? Does that sound backwards to anybody else besides me? I mean, but we do it. You know, we do it. In the rubrics, in the Book of Common Prayer, the very first rubric under ministry to the sick is this. In case of illness, the minister of the congregation is to be notified. Did you catch that? In case of illness, call the priest. Why are you calling the priest? You're calling the priest so he can bring the sacrament to you. He can anoint you. He can give you the body and the blood of Jesus. There's nothing better to overcome the sickness than to have the very channel of grace open to the heavenlies. Then, if you need additional Excedrin or Sudafed, that's fine, but notify the priest. That's what it says. All right, and death. We have poor, we have sickness, we have death. Father David last week was talking about relationships and how those kind of bring along a very difficult thing, and it's really kind of a death when a relationship is broken, is it not? It really, really, really is. There's nothing that breaks my heart more than having a broken relationship with somebody. And during the pandemic, there have been a lot of other kinds of deaths. I was praying about this. Okay, what kinds of deaths do we need to talk about? Well, let's just kind of focus for a minute. When all of this started back in March of 2020, all right, and we had that stay-at-home order from the governor, we had to start doing electronic church. Everything that I had ever been taught or done as a priest or as a minister within the church, I have 40-some-odd years of experience of ministering, but I've never done church over a telephone. You know, oh my God, here I am preaching to a telephone. I mean, you know, this is death. For somebody who is a Luddite, this is death, okay? I mean, it really was. It was very, very hard. All, you know, I love to meet with people face to face, and I wasn't even allowed to do that. When Maria went to the hospital, I couldn't even go in to be with her before she went in for surgery. I always do that. That's part of my makeup. I want to be with people. I want to be face to face, have a cup of coffee, sit down together, talk. It was death to me. And then in March 2021, we began to come back together. And that's great, except that now we've got this telephone and that computer and that computer and these screens. And, oh, my God, this is not how I was taught to do a Eucharist. The priest has died and the program manager is born. Oh, man, no, I can't do this. This is, it's really hard. I hope you understand. This is really hard. And it's like a death to me. Okay. It wasn't too long ago, I was talking to my accountability partner, and I was really having a tough time. And I told him, I said, you know, I'm one prayerless day away from Copestone. He didn't know what Copestone was. But Copestone is the psychiatric wing of St. Joseph Hospital, all right, for those of you who don't know. And I mean that. And that is the honest truth. I am one prayerless day away from a complete psychological breakdown. If I didn't have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, if I didn't have a discipline of prayer and a rule of life that I could just cling to in these difficult times, I would go nuts. We need this relationship with Him in order to overcome these deaths, our sicknesses, and our poverty. Are you with me? Does this make sense? I know this is going to be a shock to you, but I don't have it all together. I really don't. But I know the one who does. And I can reach out and I can touch him. And he can correct and heal and save all that needs to be redeemed. All right, so how do we reach out and touch Jesus? Well, obviously, what I've been talking about is the word. You need to do your exegesis. You need to do your lectio divina. I didn't talk about that this morning, but if you want to know more about that, please call me. I'd be glad to walk you through how to do lectio divina. It's a way of just concentrating on the word. And spend time in the word, listening to the voice of God as he speaks to you. Prayer. The problem that many of us have with prayer is we start off with petition. My recommendation is pray. Yes, pray, but start off with adoration and praise. You know, when Miranda and I were apart from each other that summer before we got married, I wouldn't call her up and tell her all the things I wanted her to do. I would call her up and tell her how beautiful she was, and how much I missed her, love her. That's what God would love to have us do. Give him a call and say, God, you're the greatest. You are the most wonderful. I love you. I just can't sing your praises enough. Da, 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 da. And then, or actually, one of your favorite passages, Father Chris, Acts chapter 4, after they got beaten, what did they do? They went back to the group. And did they start saying, oh, Lord, protect us from ever being beaten again? No, they started praising God and giving glory to God. And the whole place was shaken as a result of that. Right? Amen. That's the relationship that God would want with his people. You can pray the scriptures. You can pray the Psalms. You realize the Psalms are prayers as well as hymns, as well as just a real way to gripe about what's going on too. I mean, you can get it all in the Psalms. So use the Psalms for prayers. Okay. And lastly, but definitely not least, do not absent yourself from the sacraments. This is where you will come and literally touch Jesus. Receiving him in your hand. Taking him into yourself, receiving the grace of God. There are other sacraments. There's the sacrament of confession. There's the sacrament of anointing. All of these sacraments are available, which open channels of grace to us. Let me give you a real quick example of the power of the sacraments to work that kind of healing of poverty, sickness, death. The dean of the cathedral in Selma, Alabama, Craig Stull. Craig has some major problems with his spine, okay? And he has some cervical impingement that causes him extreme pain. He has a migraine headache 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you have ever had a migraine, you got a pretty good idea of what kind of pain you're talking about. So Craig has been anointed and prayed over and prophesied over and everything. And he will occasionally get some relief. He's had multiple surgeries on his neck. Just kind of scary, but they go through from the front to get to the spine. Anyway, he's had all these different surgeries, had all these broken discs removed and all that stuff, but he still is having all this pain. And he was praying. And he was just asking God, you know, God, where are you? Why am I having this? Please tell me where I can meet you that you can touch me and heal me. And God says, I'm right next door every day at noon. They have a daily Eucharist at noon. And he made a commitment to be at the Eucharist every day at noon. And he began to come to that service, headache or not. And it did not take long before that headache began to minimize and ultimately vanish. power of the sacrament. It should be our first port in the storm, my friends. All right. So God is speaking to us, but are we seeking him? Are we listening to him? Are we spending that quality time with him? The woman who had the issue of blood, she knew where she could get the help. Coming up into the crowd, she just reached out and touched him. And what did he say to her? Why did you make me unclean? No. He said, woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. My friends, reach out and touch Jesus. Amen.